This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you, Wake Up Call. SportsMap Radio Top 5, Bottom 5 is coming up, as now we've done 8 weeks of the NFL. Plus, Chris Trapasso is going to join us from CBS Sports. Talk a little bit about the Bills, and then we're also going to go around the league, kind of bounce around with some news and notes, trades, etc. What's going on with San Francisco and their injuries and dangling the possibility of cutting ties with Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, it is Election Day, and I am in the spirit of voting. One of the things that I've gotten to do in this business is vote for various things. Whether when I attend a game, vote for player of the game, vote for three stars of the game, and I did it in a couple of times in college hockey. Number of times you get asked to vote who's the MVP, et cetera, et cetera, and sometimes I've done it and sometimes I've, you know, kind of threw it off. One of the things in my career, which is going on close to 30 years, is that I've never gotten a Heisman Trophy vote, and I've always wanted one. It's one of the coveted things that I've always wanted, a Heisman Trophy vote, because I love college football and I talk a lot about college football and I follow it very religiously. But when I say I never had a Heisman vote, it's actually wrong, because I did. When I first got into the business, I was the low man on a totem pole, and I was working in New Hampshire at this big AM station in New Hampshire. It's kind of my hometown station. And my boss, who was the sports director, he had a Heisman vote. It was kind of built into the job, but he has a Heisman vote. But if you kind of grow up in New England, big time college football is not something you really pay attention to. It's more of a professional type of area. Boston College and Doug Flutie, but that's pretty much it. So he didn't really follow college football, didn't really have an interest in it, but he knew I did. I read the cover. I read those preview magazines from Sports Illustrated, like cover to cover. I followed the polls. I watched all the big games with Keith Jackson and whatnot. So I remember him telling me, hey, I need you to tell me who to vote for the Heisman Trophy. And I thought that was really cool. So back then, before the internet, I was doing, you know, I was looking up all this stuff and I was finding all these statistics as I could. But I remember one thing about having a Heisman vote. You get a lot of promotional gear, a lot, like Ty Detmer ties and, you know, posters, life-size posters and dollar bills with a kid's face on it. Lot of promotion, but I never got an official vote. On the spirit of Election Day, I'm still holding out hope that I do one day. Top five, bottom five, next.
Kane is in the building.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's time for Top 5, Bottom 5 after 8 weeks of the NFL, now that the games are in the books for that week, and we look ahead to Thursday night and week number 9. I know it's going fast, but nevertheless, now we're starting to see some teams take shape. Before we get to the start of the Top 5, Bottom 5, once again, reminder that with Christmas coming and you're looking for the gift for that special person in your life that's a sports fan, mainly you, go to homefields.com, where you can find up to 160 stadiums, a three-dimensional art piece that is really beautiful. And it worked for Ron, as Dodgers Stadium sat on his mantle and the Dodgers captured the World Series.
Yes, they did.
I have Three Rivers Stadium and the Steelers are 7-0. Who knows what home fields could bring to you? We can't guarantee success, but let's just say it's working for us. So go visit them at homefields.com. Check them out. Beautiful, again, beautiful sets of pieces of your favorite arenas, whether old arenas or new arenas. They've also got a beautiful write-up on that stadium on the back. Ken Small worked in media, so he kind of knows, kind of covered sports, so he knows how to really put together a nice piece. And these are really nice, especially when they're lit. Great for the office, great for the man cave, great for wherever you want to put them, including the mantle as you root your team to a World Series championship. They've got arenas, stadiums. Check them out. Over 160 to choose from at homefields.com. Really, really good stuff. I was really blown away when I got my Three Rivers Stadium package, because when you light them up, they really, really shine. Plus, now you can get 10% off your purchase when you enter the promo code sportsradio at homefields.com. Okay, Let's get to the top five, bottom five. Let's start with number five. And I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It wasn't a pretty win, but again, those you don't really need them. It was a little chilly. It's on the road, and you know, Buccaneers are 6-2. Brady got it done when he needed to. The defense stepped up when they had to, although that last drive was a little weak. But let me ask you this. It's 6-2 with Tampa Bay, and the reason why I've chosen them over a team like New Orleans at 5-2 or anybody else in the West is I just think they're better than those teams right now. And yeah. I think that the Buccaneers are my fifth-best team.
That's where I have the Buccaneers as well. It wasn't a pretty win yesterday, but the fact is a W is a W.
That's right.
And Tom Brady found a way to get some 43-year-old magic still working for him, and they got a win that they needed. I thought the Giants played really well, too.
I did, too. Defensively, they really played well.
I'm very surprised at what the Giants are able to do because I remember writing them off before the season even started.
And it's, again, a two-point conversion. It's a bad throw, but there's a controversial pass interference penalty. I thought it was pass interference. But
I thought they got it right.
But it was. I thought it was pass interference in a way it was like ticky-tack enough that you could have picked up the flag. But look, I don't care if it's pass interference or not. The Giants' concern should have been that ball was late delivered and it wasn't even on the right side. It was behind him.
Yeah.
Two bad things went on in that throw.
Which is
you can
amazing.
Complain about PI, and that's fine. But you know what? They probably wouldn't have gotten the two-point conversion on replaying that play.
Yeah, which is amazing because the throw he had for the touchdown was perfect.
Yeah, it was perfect.
You couldn't put it any better. But back to the Buccaneers. I just think that this team is hitting their stride right now. But we do have to wait and see what Week 9 has in store for them.
Because they do play the Saints.
Well, not only that, but also the addition of Antonio
Brown. Antonio Brown, yeah.
That could
the whole thing. Exactly. Four on my list was Baltimore. I know that people are nitpicking Baltimore a bit. And they're saying Lamar Jackson, he's not the same quarterback. He doesn't need to be the same quarterback. He was an MVP last year. Yeah, there are times where the Steelers really had him befuddled. He threw some picks, had a turnover. And it was a bad day for him. But this is a Ravens team that is still good in a lot of areas. They still run the ball down your throat with him and some other other backs as well. But they've got a very good defense. Points are hard to come by. The Steelers really earned this win despite the loss. And sitting at 5-2, Baltimore's my number four team.
For me, I have Ravens at number four as well. And I'm looking at it this way. I think this is Lamar Jackson's sophomore slump.
Yeah, that could be said.
You know, even though this is his third season in the league, I mean, let's face it, he didn't really play that much that first season. Last year, it was a revelation when Lamar Jackson started doing Lamar Jackson things, and that's why he got the MVP.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we say this all the time about, you know, especially rookie quarterbacks right now, saying, hey, you know what, you're going to go into your sophomore slump. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, you guys are going to hit your sophomore slump next season because people will have film on you then. I think people now have enough film on Lamar Jackson that the defenses are like, all right, this is what we can, let's let him do this, but let's stop him doing this. And I think that's part of the trickiness of, you know, Lamar Jackson figuring out how to become an NFL quarterback.
He had one play in this game where he looked and looked and couldn't find anybody and then made a dart towards the end zone. And it was very similar to a play he had last year where he runs so fast and is so quick. Now, unfortunately for him, the play got called back, so it didn't count.
Yeah.
But it was once again a reminder what this guy can do when he sees an open field. And he just turns on the jets. He is as fast as anybody I've seen in this league. It's remarkable. But like I said, J.K. Dobbins, Lamar Jackson, the defense is still strong. A tough win. It's a rivalry game. Made some mistakes, but the Ravens are still four.
Yep.
All right, three. Seattle. Oh, did you have Seattle as well?
I have Seattle here too.
Man, are we just going to be straight up?
I think our top fives are eerily similar this week.
Yeah, I think so.
And you know what? They should be.
It's a good bounce back win against the after losing to Arizona. You play San Francisco, and DK Metcalf is starting to emerge as a national star, the wide receiver at Ole Miss. There are more conversations about DK Metcalf when he does good things, whether it is chasing down a defender who got an interception or being fantastic in their game against the 49ers. DK Metcalf is emerging. Russell Wilson has 26 touchdowns this season. 26 already.
Yeah, DK Metcalf said, the Russell Wilson MVP train is back on board.
Think about this. He's not even played eight games yet. They're not even at the halfway point for them personally.
Right.
They are 6-1. He's got 26 touchdown passes already this season. He's cooking along.
No, and if you can keep throwing to DK Metcalf, it's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
This guy, when he caught with his touchdown run last week, where he came across the middle, and you know, it looks like he's running in slow motion, and then all of a sudden he turns the corner, and there was just a burst of speed out of nowhere, yeah. And there was like no one's catching him.
And he is big too. That's huge. The one thing. He's huge and he's fast, and that's a great combination. That's what they said about him at Ole Miss. I mean, he was big and could run. Number two, Kansas City.
Yep.
Yeah, the Chiefs 7-1 now, an easy win against the Jets, and it was something we said yesterday, which was, it looked like a really good college team beating up on a team they pay $1 million to play.
Yeah.
That's how easy Patrick Mahomes
played the Jets.
They probably should
have paid the Jets to play them.
I mean, my goodness. It was simple, efficient, 5 touchdowns, 500 yards, easy game, no trouble whatsoever. But that's not why they're 2. They're 2 because that's what you should get from them when they play a team as bad as the Jets. It should be effortless. It should be no trouble at all. It should be smooth as silk. That is what you expect from one of the top teams against one of the worst, and that's exactly what you got. They didn't struggle. They didn't play down to their competition. They didn't let the Jets hang around into the fourth quarter before they pulled them away and did that old, well, you know, every team's tough in this league. No, they went, they stink, and we're going to destroy them. We're going to cover the spread, and our quarterback's going to make it look like a piece of cake. That's exactly what they did.
I mean, the true sign is this. I didn't see where Patrick Mahomes had 400-plus yards throwing.
Yeah. No. Right.
I don't. I still like rewatching the game. I was looking at him like, I don't see where he got 400 plus yards throwing, but he did.
He did
because it was easy. Just that easy. It was just little dump offs here and there. It was like, I'll just do this, and you can gain 20 yards. You want 20? You want 10 yards here? I'll just pass it all over the place. It was exactly what you said. It's what we expected from that game.
And again, double-digit spreads usually don't cover in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. But the Chiefs went, yeah, why not? It's easy. We'll take care of this.
Well, that's why, early in the week we asked the question, what's more likely, Jets upset the Chiefs or aliens land on Earth?
That's right. That's right.
100% would have chosen aliens.
All right, number one, 7-0, Pittsburgh. Good road win against the Ravens.
They have to, especially this week.
I know my friends are picking them apart, but don't pick them apart. They're 7-0. They got problems like everybody else, but that's what happens.
Those are the true fans.
Nobody's perfect.
The true fans
yes.
will not be satisfied with 7-0.
The third down conversion rate for the Ravens was a little eye-popping, a little too much at times. I kept saying over and over again, please make a stop.
Falling behind that quickly might have worried some.
Right. But nevertheless, still a road win against Tennessee, a road win against Baltimore. Two tough tests that you thought that they were going to have to suffer once. Here's the thing, though. We know this. The Steelers will lose to Cincinnati. The Steelers will lose to Jacksonville.
Here's what I'm predicting. They're going to head into Thanksgiving weekend 10-0.
I hope so. That'll be fun.
And then we'll get to see Thanksgiving weekend coming up, and that'll be Thanksgiving night, actually. That's a great game, Thanksgiving night.
Nothing would be more poetic than if the Steelers were to go, for me anyway, this is just a personal thing. If the Steelers go 16-0 and win the Super Bowl. Why? Because one, it ends the Dolphins' little fun pop of champagne tradition. But in Steeler lore, the immaculate reception that happened against the Raiders is one of the most incredible plays in NFL history and whatnot. The thing was, it ended next week against Miami on their way to a perfect season. So somehow a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon emerges here, where the Steelers get 16-0, win the Super Bowl, go 19-0, upend the Dolphins team that took away their fun immaculate reception party back in 1972. I know that's a little bit of a stretch, but roll with it, Ron.
No, I'm with you. I hear it. I can figure it all out. That's the storyline that that's the poetry the NFL can bring.
That's not necessarily taking string and sticking it in different directions with pictures on a chalkboard, right? I mean, corkboard, but it's still the same thing.
Yeah.
So the Steelers are our number one team. So we have Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Seattle, Baltimore, and Tampa Bay. We went 5-for-5 in the similar picks.
We did. It almost feels like we went chalk, too.
Very true. We'll get the bottom five coming up next as Wake Up Call continues.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we'll get to the bottom five in just a minute. Need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by, talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so we move from 28 on up to 32. And for 28, let me just tell you my thought process sometimes. Yes, it's easy to go to the standings and find the worst records and sort of put them all in place. We try not to do that. We try to go, let's just get a feel for this. Who's not playing particularly well? What circumstances are on the team that make them part of this bottom five? Sometimes, and I've done this in the past, I like to punish a team that disappoints me. A team that I expected a little bit better out of this previous week. And then their record indicates they're in the bottom five anyway, but I really want to make an effort. So for 28, I was thinking maybe going with the Chargers for blowing that lead against Denver in just a ridiculous way. You start looking around going, well, maybe I'll go with Minnesota. Even though they came off a win against the Packers, their record still indicates that. Maybe I'll go with Atlanta, but they're playing better under Raheem Morris. But instead, I went with the record, and I picked the Houston Texans. Now, the Texans are a better 1-6 team than some 2-5 teams. What, you know, they just haven't put anything good together, and their schedule was really tough at the beginning of the year, sort of derailed them a bit. But Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback than some teams that only have 2 wins this season. But nevertheless, even though they're coming off a bye week, there seems to be a disgruntled football team that doesn't know how to put away a team, it doesn't know how to win a game. They have played, and I'm not kidding, their losses include Green Bay, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Kansas City, names we put in the top five all the time. But I am going to just say, at 1-6, you should have found another way to win a few games. So Houston is 28.
I eerily had the same thought process as you.
Right.
You know, I started going through all the teams. You know, the Falcons, man, they haven't been playing well, but, they, you know, as of late, they've been doing much better.
Raheem Morris is kind of doing well.
They had a decent win. The Vikings had a decent win this past weekend, and then I came to the Chargers, and you know what? I was like, no. Chargers are 28 for me.
Yeah.
And that pains me.
Yeah, sure.
Listen, here's the deal, right? I don't know how many games it takes for the Chargers to eclipse the Falcons as the team that gives up late leads.
Yeah, that is
but
true.
I feel that number is coming.
That is coming. It is coming.
And I've been a big supporter of Anthony Lynn. I like him.
Me too.
But over the past 3 years now, he has lost more one-score games and lost leads late than I think any coach in the history of the NFL. At some point, we got to take a look at that and go, okay, you know what? He just can't finish. He can't finish
games. You got to close
them out. I don't understand. I mean, we were up 21 against the Broncos in the second half. And
the Broncos' offense wasn't looking great at all.
Yes. And then I don't know what happened to the defense. The defense was like, oh, did you need fantasy points? Go right ahead.
Yeah. No, seriously, follow the Broncos. Some of the Bronco media, follow their thread in that game. Drew Lock is clearly not the answer.
Yes.
Right? Like, in that beginning
of
that game,
Drew Lock is the next John Elway.
He's the hero. Exactly. And why? I don't think it was Broncos. I think it was the Chargers.
It was definitely the Chargers.
Come on in.
But I'm 100%. That thought process went there, but I couldn't. I got the Chargers. You're 28. Get out of the bottom five, please.
29, the Giants. I last night was a bad loss. Daniel Jones needs to make that throw, and that's a bad throw. P.I., no P.I., that's a bad throw that he made to Deion Lewis for that two-point conversion. But the Giants are bitten a little bit here, and this is not to make excuses, but I think there is something. There's something that goes on sometimes, whether it's in sports, individual sports, auto racing, golf, tennis, that sometimes we look at the circumstances of the athlete and we say, oh, we have sympathy for them because somehow they're in a worse setting. But when somebody is the same age and has different expectations, we're a little harder on them. I tend to look at the Giants in the latter part, meaning I look at them and say, oh, poor Giants. They're dealing with so many handcuffed, you know, things. The Steelers are on their schedule early. They played the Rams. They've played the 49ers, the Bears. Those are good football teams. But the last 2 weeks, they should have won those games. They should have won last night. They should have won last night. And they should have beaten the Eagles on Thursday night. This should be a 3-win team right now and on top of the division. But because they're not, because they're 1-7, and because their quarterback makes a late bad throw that they need, they're hoping personal pass interference bails them out on, that's why they're in my bottom five at 29 at 1-7.
Yeah, I really wanted to keep the Giants off the bottom five too, but you can't. You just can't. I mean, there's certain times, that, like last night, even before the final throw. I mean, Daniel Jones, you put a touch on that ball that for the touchdown that was absolutely gorgeous. No other. I mean, the best quarterbacks, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, they're the ones who do that, and that makes me believe that you can play in the NFL. And then you follow that up with a throw for the win where you choked. That's simply what it was. He choked.
The thing was exactly, and that's where the play was going. That's where the play was designed. You're looking for Lewis to break off, and he still was late to the throw.
I mean, throw it 5 yards in front of him and see what happens.
So
I don't know.
It's yeah.
You got to fix those little things.
Number 30 is Dallas. With Ben DiNucci at quarterback, they were terrible. Andy Dalton didn't look better when he played before his concussion. They have not. I think they've scored one touchdown in their last three games. With Dak Prescott has been out. That's why he's a franchise quarterback, and that's why the others are not. Look, Ben DiNucci, as I said yesterday, I don't care where he comes from. I don't care what his size is, strength, arm, intelligence, all of those factors. He was not going to play well his rookie game against the Eagles on the road on a Sunday night. Sorry. Just the betting line was not going to be in his favor. But they are a mess beyond quarterback. They are really a mess beyond quarterback. They can't score, and they can't stop anybody. Dallas is 30.
Number 30 for me, this is where I'm putting Jacksonville. This team is just getting worse and worse and worse. They're going this week. They're playing against the Texans this week, and they're starting something called Jake Luton. Jake Luton. I don't know.
I've never heard of him.
Neither have I.
He's a rookie.
Couldn't tell you one thing about him, but they're starting that because our guy Minshew is hurt.
He went to Oregon State.
Did he?
That
sounds like a good school.
So I should kind of know who he is.
I mean, this Jacksonville team. I mean, they're you know, Jacksonville's always been this way, haven't they?
Yeah.
Outside that one year where you know they went to the AFC Championship game, it now seems like that was one of those weird statistical anomalies.
Just found themselves on the winning side of football. Yeah. We don't know how this is happening. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jacksonville's number 30 for me.
I put Jacksonville at 31. They've lost six in a row, and you're right. Minshew is out, and even with Minshew in, they stink. But Jake Luton, again, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. It could be Luton. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Oregon State people kind of correct me on this quarterback who's getting the start. There is a veteran there. He's Mike Glennon. He's not getting the start. They're going with this kid against the Texans. The only team that that Houston has beaten this year is Jacksonville. So that's just all you need to know is the Jags are 31 on my list.
Well, 31 for me. This is where I had the Cowboys.
Okay. That makes sense.
I don't know what a Benucci is or a DiNucci, a Ben DiNucci. I'm guessing that was a quarterback from, what was James Monroe? Is that where he hails from?
James Madison.
I think a concussed Andy Dalton would have played better.
Yep.
But the troubling thing for me was they couldn't get Ezekiel Elliott going.
And
I could have really used him this week. I do have him as one of my fantasy mainstay on my team. Could have really used some of the points. He just couldn't get anything going. I don't know what the Cowboys' deal is. It's almost as if they're saying, you know what, forget this season. Let's start working for a draft pick.
The funny thing is, the Eagles turned the ball over. Carson Wentz turned the ball over four times.
And
Dallas was nowhere near this game.
No.
Like in the fourth quarter, the Eagles pulled away with a touchdown, and then this is all you needed to know about the Cowboys. They went for that safety.
Yeah.
They had a play. You know, they gained 15 yards of field position with that kick that they were hoping they could get, but decided to just give the safety up, then let Ben DiNucci make a fourth down play. They were like, no, he can't make a fourth down play. Let's give the safety, and then let's try to get the ball on a free kick.
Yeah.
You don't need the 32 team.
32 for you?
Yeah, we're done breaking down this.
No.
The 30, Jets.
No, I don't have the Jets at 32.
Where do you have 32?
At 32, I put Alabama.
You've been on that train for the last two or three weeks.
You know what? It finally came to the station.
Chris Tripasso is joining us next from CBS Sports. We'll talk NFL with him next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We'll talk some NFL. Chris Tapasso joins us, CBS Sports. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's talk about the Buffalo Bills a bit. 6-2, win over the Patriots. Psychologically, even though the Patriots aren't the same Patriots, it still must have been nice for them to get the win. But if you were to describe the way this Buffalo team is, what would it be?
Still trying to find their way and their identity. In those first 4 weeks of the season, they looked like they had one of the best three offenses in the league. They kind of had a snag. Their schedule was weird. They played the Titans, a team off 2 weeks rest because of coronavirus outbreak. Got their game against the Kansas City Chiefs moved. The offense kind of stalled a little bit. And the defense, which has been so good under Sean McDermott, was allowing a lot of big plays in the run game mostly, and were not as stingy in the secondary. But I think to see the Bills having not played really their best football in about a month, to be sitting at 6-2, looking pretty good in the AFC East halfway through the season, especially after the last 20 years, the Bills have to be happy with the situation that they're in, having that they have not played the best football over the last month, but are still 6-2.
What progress have you seen with Josh Allen as he's grown into not only a starter in this league, obviously, but he's becoming a name around the league?
The biggest progression that Josh Allen has made comes from his patience and his play inside the pocket that we knew even coming out of Wyoming. He was very raw, had the big arm, that when things broke down, he could get outside the pocket, kind of do that street ball stuff, and improvise, make big plays with his legs and throwing the football down the field. And he did that even as a rookie. And then last year, he kind of scaled it back a little bit and was better from inside the pocket. I've seen over the last 2 weeks, division wins over the Jets and Patriots, Josh Allen is taking what the defense is giving him. He's not doing that hero ball where he's throwing across his body over the middle of the field. He's staying inside the pocket and throwing with accuracy and good decision-making as a pocket passer. And then he knows that he can lean on his athleticism and his improvisation outside the pocket. So he's just gotten a lot more calm as a pocket passer.
We were wondering in the offseason, Stephon Diggs, how he would fit in this Buffalo's offense. Are they using him the right way? Do they need to use him more? How is Diggs playing in that scheme?
No, it's been a home run of an addition for Bills GM Brandon Bean, that the offense pre-2018 was all about having big wide receivers, similar to the Carolina Panthers when they had Kelvin Benjamin and Devin Funchess, a lot of big targets. And they've transitioned, and I think this is due to Brian Daboll and his Patriots experience in the past. They've transitioned to an offense that has wide receivers who are smaller but can get open with Cole Beasley, John Brown, and Stephon Diggs. Earlier in the season, like I said, over that first month when they were 4-0, they were using Diggs a lot down the field. He's actually become a chain-moving target for Josh Allen, that he's seeing 8 to 12 targets a game, and there have been a couple 6-catch-for-60-yard type performances for Stephon Diggs. Made the one big play in the passing game that the Bills had in that kind of rain-soaked game on Sunday over New England. But in terms of just his fit in the scheme, I think Brian Daboll identified that he wanted receivers who can separate, and that's why the Bills gave up so much to get Stephon Diggs.
They got a game coming up against Seattle, and if you look at the rest of the schedule, they do have the Steelers still on it, and there is a conversation about how does this team do against some of the elite teams in the NFL, already losing to a Tennessee team that was unbeaten at that time, and Kansas City, obviously, as good as they are. Is that overblown? Is there a concern that they need to start beating some of these teams that are very, very good in this league?
No, absolutely. I think that is the biggest concern for the Bills, that right now, probably inside that Bills building, and everyone in Western New York and even outsiders know that this is a good Bills football team that's most likely going to be in the playoffs and not sneak in as the sixth or the seventh seed, that they're in the driver's seat to win their division and host a playoff game. But because the Bills have been building toward having not just a playoff caliber team or a sixth seed in the wild card. They're building to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender out of the AFC. And you're right, they're 0-2 against those upper echelon teams in the AFC. But what's good for the Bills, and yes, it might lead to some losses, but with games against, like you mentioned, with the Steelers, the Seahawks, Cardinals, the 49ers, the team's a little banged up now, but one of the better teams in the NFC still on that schedule, we're going to know how good or how bad this Bills team is. I think it's still one of the better teams in the AFC, but they will have a lot of swings at the plate to see if they can stack up with some of the better teams in the entire NFL.
All right, let's go around the league a little bit. Chris Trapasso joins us from CBS Sports, and let's start with the Patriots, the teams the Bills did beat on Sunday. It is easy to just go down a cliched line of, well, if anybody can turn it around, it's Belichick, but this is a 2-5 team that seems to have a lot of problems. Opt-outs at the beginning of the season, injuries, Cam Newton's not playing well. Nevertheless, do you see a football team that is capable of turning the season around, or is there just too much to overcome?
I think at 2-5, even with that extra spot in the AFC, they're probably too far behind the eight ball to make a run and sneak into the playoffs. I do think the path for them, and you did see it on Sunday a little bit, the colder weather and the fact that I think Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels understand that this is not a high-octane offense, even one that wasn't as good as it was 10 years ago, but was still pretty good throwing the football with Tom Brady last year. They have a good offensive line, and the game on Sunday was the first game of the year that the Patriots had the same five offensive linemen for back-to-back games. They've had a lot of injuries up front. They can run the football. I like what they have with Damian Harris and Rex Burkhead. James White is still elusive after the catch. Cam Newton is just kind of throws off the numbers game if you're a defense with his ability to run the football. And the defense is not that historic-type defense that we saw last season when they did feast on a lot of lesser quarterbacks. But it's still not a bad unit. So I think if they can rattle off some wins, maybe make some noise and kind of ruin some teams' wild card chances in the AFC down the stretch, it's literally by going to the classic brand of football, running, controlling the clock, and playing good defense, trying to win games in the 20s, they're not a team that it fits the modern-day NFL of if you score 30, 35 points, you're going to win. I don't think that's where the Patriots really are going to live this season. But I think at 2-5 with a jumble of teams, the Raiders, the Browns, even the Broncos, the Chargers sitting there, I don't know if they have enough firepower and if they can rely on that philosophy to win 9 or 10 games.
Another team that's been rising up over the past few weeks is Indianapolis, but a look at their schedule, they've beaten teams they're probably better at on paper. But are the Bills, are the Colts for real at 5-2? Do you buy what they're doing?
I do, because I think they in a league now that is so offensive predicated, the Colts really have, outside of a game or two, have really been that sole team that has a very stout defense. And it starts up front. That trade for DeForest Buckner, they sent a first-round pick to San Francisco. They get one of the most versatile and disruptive defensive linemen that is starting to get more notoriety. I mean, certainly with the 49ers going to the Super Bowl last year, they were a marquee team, but a lot of their games were at night. East Coast wasn't really seeing how good of a player he was. And Darius Leonard, the all-pro linebacker behind him, very hard to throw over the middle of the field. And then on the offensive side, they have probably the best offensive line in the NFL. They have a stable of good backs, Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, very good catching the football out of the backfield. The only thing I'm concerned about with them is their firepower through the air, that Phillip Rivers is certainly still capable. We've seen that over the last couple weeks, throwing over 300 yards. But in their two losses, a lot of those sacks, fumbles, interceptions kind of pop up. Because T.Y. Hilton just is not the same player anymore that he was even a few years ago. So I think they have the defense that you would think would translate to making a deep run in the playoffs, but I think they're going to ultimately face a team with a really good offense. And I don't know if they can score with Baltimore, with Kansas City, and even when Buffalo is playing well, I don't know if they can score with those teams that can really bring it through the air on offense.
With the trade deadline coming, moves have been made, but there was one bit of conversation yesterday that sort of came through, which is the injuries to what's going on with the 49ers, and in their division, that's not what you want. But there's also been a conversation about Garoppolo's future there. It could save the 49ers some money. Maybe he's not the quarterback that they're looking for long-term. Do you buy that? What's your sense of what that situation could be like in San Francisco?
Yeah, I think this kind of could spell the end for Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco, that NFC West is so competitive that you could be 9-7 or 8-8 and finish in last place in that division. So it's crazy how competitive it is. And even if the 49ers do go 8-8 or 9-7, typically not a bad season that's really going to ruffle a lot of feathers or lead to a lot of roster turnover. But you're right, the money factors in, and the fact that we're going to see Nick Mullins over the next couple months, and I don't think there's that big of a drop-off in production from him to Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's making a fraction of Jimmy Garoppolo's contract. Kyle Shanahan is, to me, the best play designer, play caller in the NFL. He's gotten efficient play from Brian Hoyer, from C.J. Beathard. He's been with Matt Ryan. He's been with RG3, Kirk Cousins. I don't think that the organization will look to the future and say, we need to continue to pay Jimmy Garoppolo $25, $30, $35 million, that they can almost try to build the rest of the team, get some more youth on the defensive side, and go in a different, cheaper direction at the quarterback spot.
Chris, we love having you on. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate your insight on the Bills and also the rest of the NFL. Hope to catch up with you pretty soon.
All right, thanks a lot.
You got Chris Tipasso joining us, CBS Sports, on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Also, Progressive is proud to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. All right, we'll continue more thoughts on the NFL, because I do like a couple of things that he was talking about with the Colts and the Bills, especially with their schedule coming up. But I've been recently discovering life-changing benefits of CBD, and even better, CBD with no THC from a great line of products from Infinity CBD. Their freezing point cold creams, they manages my aching muscles, they're tasty yet relaxing veggie gummies. Infinite CBD's line of products have 0% THC, and they're non-intoxicating. So it means that if you're looking for the benefits of cannabinoids without the mind-altering effects of medical marijuana, they've got the products for you. Non-toxics can help you better manage your pain, discomfort, and stress levels. And Infinite CBD's hemp is organically grown in Colorado. All of their products expertly formatted by master chemists to provide the benefits without the worry. You can save 20%, I should say, with the promo code WAKEUP. Again, go to InfiniteCBD.com and check them out. Again, if you're looking for that kind of product, they've got all sorts of great ones to choose from at Infinite CBD. All right, well, coming up, more thoughts on what Chris said about the NFL and some of the, especially Buffalo, and where this schedule is going next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Our Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. So he made a good point about the Bills. Chris Tipasso, our last guest from CBS Sports, made a good point about the Bills. Would you rather be, let's say, a 4-3 team right now, right? 4-3, but two of those four wins that you have came against really good teams in the NFL. Maybe not in your conference, maybe, you know, NFC or NFC, the opposite conference, but you know you've got some really good victories in your resume. Maybe you dropped a game you shouldn't, everybody does, but you feel like, man, we went up against some of the best teams and we beat them. Or would you rather be the Bills at 6-2? You've got a little bit of a cushion there, but you haven't beaten really anybody.
Yeah.
Like, and when you do face a good team like Tennessee or Kansas City, you lose.
See, because that's got to be demoralizing, because now you're looking at, you're sitting back and saying, hey, we're a good football team. We're not at that level.
Yeah. Like, we, you know, like Seattle's on the schedule. You've got the Steelers. You got Arizona. Like, if you're not at a position at that point, and you got Miami at the end, and what if Miami is a 9-win team this year? It's got to be weird for Buffalo to know that they're good, like record wise, beating the teams they should. But head-to-head against a Kansas City or a Titans or a Steelers or a Seahawks or whatnot, Are they at that level? Now, they beat the Steelers last year, but the Steelers didn't have Ben Roethlisberger.
And they honestly, they need to beat a good AFC team.
They do. They really do. I'm not kidding.
I don't even think NFC, I don't think it really matters. You need to beat a good AFC team because that's who your competition is going to be in January.
You can't put together a season like this and just be one and done in the postseason. They could win the division with 10 wins. You can't just go into the playoffs going, well, when we play somebody good, I mean, forget it.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're out.
We'll beat the Jets with 6 field goals, but we're not going to we're not going to come close to beating, you know, Tennessee again or Indianapolis or whoever we may face in the playoffs. You've got to be able to win those games. And that's interesting because, look, we talked about this with Tampa Bay, how they were one, you know, a year ago, they would have been glad to be 6-2. Now they're 6-2, but here's a list of things they need to be, you know, better. We do that as a fan base. But Buffalo's been building this brick by brick, to use an old cliche. This isn't a surprising season. They've been building towards this. They've added pieces, right? They've had, okay, we're good, but we need to get better. Let's add a piece here. Now we're a little bit better. Let's add another piece. Stephon Diggs, you get to come and play on this offense now. So here's another piece to the puzzle. But the same problem remains. They're good, but they're not quite good enough right now. And that's where I'd be worried about if I was a Bills fan. Because 6-2 is good. But after, you know, you do need to show a resume that's capable of going to the playoffs and doing a little bit of damage. Jake Asman Show is coming up next. It's Election Day. Enjoy it. Whatever it is you choose to do. All right, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.